So we are talking about being Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. A lot of times when people hear the word Spirit-filled, they think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? A lot of churches, when they talk about a Spirit-filled church, they talk about the giftings, certain gifts that a person has that makes that church Spirit-filled. What I would like to propose to you is that it's not so much the giftings that you have as the character that you portray. And we're going to begin to look at that in Ephesians here shortly. But in John chapter 14, we have the Moses group met last Monday. And we discussed this passage of Scripture where Jesus says, "Don't let your heart be troubled." Don't let your heart be troubled. Do you have a choice? I mean, it sounds like a choice, right? Whether or not our heart is troubled or not. I don't know. Hopefully you can see that. It says, don't let your heart be troubled. So I want to ask you this morning, how many of you have a troubled heart about something? Okay. So how in the world do we not let our hearts be troubled? Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. So we see something about belief in regards to our heart not being troubled. We've got a new member in our family this morning, and we're so glad to have her here. Yeah, and she's not going to bother anybody. We're just excited that she's here. Okay, pardon? Yes, sir. Tell us her name. Charlotte. How beautiful name. Beautiful girl. So, we find in this passage of Scripture there's something between not letting your heart be troubled and then also this idea of belief. And we're going to get more into that. A second passage of Scripture we find, Jesus said in John 14, 27, and I asked you to memorize this a couple of weeks ago, peace I leave with you. Do you remember it? Well, read it with me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. John 14:27. So how much peace did Jesus have? He said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. In this world, you're going to have a lot of trouble. But don't be anxious, don't be afraid, don't be troubled. I'm going to leave you my peace. For many of you, I have preached this on Sunday nights for several years. But I don't remember preaching it on a Sunday morning. And so we're going to address this on Sunday mornings because I want you all to hear it. I want you all to get it. Because it's so vital for our personal growth. It's vital for our spiritual growth. Because God did not call you into His kingdom just to be sitting on the bench and watching. He wants you to be a participant in His kingdom. Okay? But in order to do that, we have to come to a place where we're able to trust Him and believe Him and put our lives in His hands regardless. Another passage of Scripture in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. If you can see it, read it with me. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So how much peace does God have? Infinite, all of it. So if God gave you His peace, do you think you would know it? If Jesus gave you His peace, do you think you would know it? Definitely. The Holy Spirit said, I've got some fruit to give you, love, joy, peace. So, if the Holy Spirit gave you His peace, do you think you would know it? And if all three persons of the Godhead said, I'm going to give you my peace, do you think you would know that? Definitely. Well, that's what I call the God zone. Keep on going. There we go. That's what I call the God zone. As a matter of fact, you may notice I've got a bracelet on my hand. And this reminds me that I need to stay in peace with God. And I need to keep my emotions in check. And I need to keep my actions in check. And when I don't, then for some reason, I don't know about you, but my bracelet turns around to den. We're going to show you what the den is. Go ahead to the next slide. So name some destructive emotions that can catapult you out of the God zone. Help me out here. Anger. Fear. Jealousy. Envy. Pardon? Gossip. That's an action. It's an action. And we're going to get to that in a minute. What's an emotion? Bitterness. Resentment. Fear. Unforgiveness. Distrust. Doubt. Despair. Pride. Depression. Go to the next slide. So, and et cetera. Selfishness, self-pity, self-hatred, a lot of different emotions. So, I call it the destructive emotional neighborhood or the den. Okay? So, all non-Christians live in the den. Every non-Christian lives in the den. Every non-Christian is driven by these emotions. A non-Christian cannot experience the peace of God because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Okay? And the only way they can have peace is if they receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We had the communion a while ago. And what the blood of Jesus does is it takes away not only the penalty of sin, but it takes away the power of sin as well. And so when a person comes to know Christ, there's a transformation that takes place, and they're able to experience the God zone. Let me ask you a question. How many Christians do you think live in the den? 90%. Yeah, sad to say, but many Christians live in the den. Now, they get to visit the God zone periodically. Worship team did a wonderful job this morning, and some of you may have visited the God zone while they were in worship. But as soon as you go and leave here today, somebody might run out in front of you, and you might lose your peace. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Let your heart be troubled. Now I want us to look at how does a person act when in the God zone? It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. So when a person is in the God zone, when the person is filled with the Spirit, these are the actions that take place in their life. I had a hard, yesterday was a difficult day for me. I was working on a project and the project didn't go as planned. I started getting frustrated. Cut the board 3 times and it was still too short. We all go through difficult times. I looked down at my wrist and it was in the den. It's in the den again. And, you know, for a few hours it was like, ah. But here's what I've discovered. As a child of God, and where I am in my maturity, I can't not get in the den sometimes. I can keep from sinning when I'm in the there, in my emotional state. It's a dangerous place, and I need to do something so that I don't act on those emotions. But I've discovered this, that I'm in my, where I am in my maturity, I'm not quite where I can stay in the God zone all the time. But I can choose how long I'm going to stay in the den. Am I going to stay there for 10 minutes, 3 hours, 10 days, or 20 years? That's my choice. I can choose where I'm going to be. So if you are in the God zone, these are the actions that will take place in your life. If you are filled with the Spirit, it just comes natural. When you're filled with the Spirit, for you to act in a godly way. It just comes natural. But when you're not in the Spirit, this is what it looks like when you're following your emotions. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's kind of frightening, isn't it? Anyone living that kind of lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here's what happens. When we get in the den and our emotions start driving us, we begin making decisions that are contrary to the will of God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever done anything really good when you were in anger? Clean the house. You know, a lot of ladies clean the house. A lot of people throw their hammers. Or throw other things. Yeah, golf clubs. When we get angry. So, how many of you have ever made a really wise decision when you were in panic mode? I don't have this passage of Scripture up here, but you can write it down. It's Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of God rule your heart. So here's what I've discovered. I make my best decisions when I'm in the God zone. I make my best decisions when I have peace that rules my heart. And I make my worst decisions when peace isn't ruling and something else is. That's what I've discovered in my life. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. So we actually have a choice of how our heart is going to respond to certain situations. So, all non-Christians live in the den. A lot of Christians live in the den and visit the God zone. Some Christians live in the God zone and visit the den occasionally. So let me ask you a question. Where do you live? Where do you live? The next question is, where do you want to live? I don't think I've ever had anybody tell me, I just want to be mad all the time. I just want to be depressed all the time. That's my choice. That's what I want to do. Or I've never had anybody say, man, I just want to be in panic mode all the time. Never had anybody say that. But I believe this, that everybody is looking for happiness, whether you're in the world or in the church, everybody's looking for happiness. And you can actually find a little bit of thrill in the world. You really can, but it only lasts for a while. It doesn't last long. It's a temporary fix. Jesus said, I have come to give life and give it more abundantly. And this is part of that abundant life that he's talking about, so that you can walk in the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we get to choose that as children of God. We get to choose that. Now, so let me just explain to you really quick, what do you do when you feel yourself moving from the God zone into the den? What do you do? Well, so we're going to vent to God. Vent to God. We're going to tell him, God, I need your help here. Did you know that David was a master prayer? King David of Israel was a master prayer, and he knew how to vent. Listen to this. Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God, and I like this part, slap all my enemies in the face, shatter their teeth. Victory comes from you, O Lord, may you bless your people. David knew how to pray. And we say, man, that's not a good prayer. We ought not pray like that. Well, why should we not pray like that? So let me ask you a question. Have you ever hated anybody? Just raise your hand. It's okay. We can be truthful. Maybe. I have. But my parents said, Brad, you can never say you hate. Because it's wrong to hate. So let me ask you a question. Did you know that God knew I hated? So wouldn't it be okay just to be truthful with God? Wouldn't it be okay just to be truthful with myself? He knows what's in my heart anyway. It'd probably been a whole lot better if he said, God, I hate my brother. Than to just pretend it wasn't there. Okay, David wasn't a pretender. He was the real deal. Did he get it all right? No, he didn't get it all right. Here's another one. Now listen, this passage of Scripture in Psalm 12, 1 through 8, this applies to us today. Listen to what he says. O Lord, the godly are fast disappearing. The faithful have vanished from the earth. Neighbors lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and deceitful hearts. May the Lord cut off their flattering lips and silence their boastful tongues. I like that. They say, we will lie to our heart's content. Our lips are our own. Who can stop us? The Lord replies, I have seen violence done to the helpless, and I have heard the groans of the poor. Now I will rise up to rescue them, and they have longed for me to do so. As they have longed for me to do. The Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. Therefore, Lord, we know you will protect the oppressed, preserving them forever from this lying generation, even though the wicked strut about and evil is praised throughout the land. Doesn't that sound like America today? But here's what I like about David. David does not say, God, I'm going to take vengeance on my enemies. He never says that. He says, God, you do your stuff. You are able, more than able, to do what needs to be done. And so I'm going to turn them over to you, and I praise you for what you're going to do to my enemies. Isn't that boy, I love that. And if you go through David's prayers, I mean, these are not the only two that he vents to God. I mean, practically his whole book is venting. Okay? So what happens is, whenever you feel yourself moving out of the God zone, it's okay to vent to God. It's okay to tell Him what's going on in your heart. Not only is it okay, it's where we need to be, what we ought to do. And Scripture says that if we do that, the Lord will bring peace to our hearts. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, we read it earlier, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Do you see that in David's prayers? Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. If you go through those prayers again with David, you see him. He's venting his frustration. He's venting his heart. He's sharing with God the things that are going on with him and the trouble that he's having. But then he just starts praising the Lord because he remembers the promises. He begins talking to God about his promises. First thing we find out in this passage is that we're not to be anxious about anything. Renee was sharing with me this morning about a message she heard from Bags McAllister. Alistair Bags. That's what I meant. and so I went into my concordance. So that word anxious, it means actually don't take thought about troubling things. Don't take any thought about troubling things. Don't have a troubled mind about anything. So when your mind starts going into the den, and that's what takes us there, is our mind takes us to destructive emotional neighborhood. It says don't allow your mind to go there. I think that's what Jesus was meaning when he said, don't let your heart be troubled. You know, we can't stop thoughts from coming to our head, but we can stop them from getting to our heart. We can take captive those thoughts, and we can bring them to the cross of Jesus, and we can shed light on that thought and say, Lord, is this from you? And if it's not, we can get rid of it. Don't worry about anything. Don't let your heart be troubled about anything, but rather pray about everything. Pray about everything. So whatever it is that's troubling your heart, God says, if you will, take captive, that don't pretend it isn't there. Don't pretend that those thoughts or those troubling situations are not there. That doesn't help. But what you need to do is you need to own it, and you need to vent to God about it. And not only that, Scripture says that you need to give thanks. This First Corinthians, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Give thanks. In the midst of the stuff, in the midst of the trouble, it says give thanks to God. That's what David was doing, is he was giving thanks to God, not only for who he was, but he was giving thanks for his promises, even though David didn't see the promises fulfilled when he was praying this prayer. The promises fulfilled came later. And so listen, family, we have to remember God's word. We have to remember what he has said to us in the dark times and in the good times. When he has spoken to our hearts, we have to remember what he says so that when we go through the troubling times, we say, God, you said this. I believe this. I know this is true. This is what your word says, and I'm hanging on. I'm hanging on. I'm hanging on for dear life. We have to get there. And we have to know God's word well enough so we can hang on to his word. You can't believe the world, because the world is going to lead you astray. You can't. Did you know you can't even believe your emotions sometimes? You can't even believe your emotions. Your emotions can lie to you as well. Not always, but sometimes they do. Give thanks. Remember his faithfulness during the storm. Remember his faithfulness when you're in the storm. Give thanks for his goodness, his love. And as hard as it might be, when you're going through the storm, find something to give thanks to him for. He says, if you will do this, if you will remember my faithfulness, if you will remember me during the storm, and if you will continue to focus on me, on the faith that you can have in me and my promises to you, he says, this is what's going to happen. Peace will prevail in your heart. So how long does it take to pray until peace comes? Who knows? There's a certain place the Lord needs you to get to. And that place is trust. That place is faith in him. And when you totally trust him with the situation, the peace will come. I don't care if it's a physical situation, a financial situation, a relationship situation. It doesn't really matter what the situation is. God says you need to pray until you can trust me enough. And when you can trust me enough, then peace will prevail in your heart. What is the result? The result is that the peace of God, not your peace, but the peace of God will guard your heart and mind as you live in the God zone. He will guard your heart and mind as you abide in the vine. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, abiding in the vine. This is the same idea, walking in the Spirit. So let me ask you a question. What is the emotion that normally takes you out of the God zone? Fear, anger. Pardon? Frustration? So if the enemy knows what your trigger emotion is, do you think he's going to continue to pick at that? Jesus said, I have a life for you. I have an abundant life for you. Not just a mediocre life. Not just a life where you're just existing. But Jesus said, I have an abundant life for you. Now, does that mean that next week you're going to be a millionaire? Or drive a Mercedes-Benz? Or Jaguar? Or whatever your favorite car is? Probably not. But what it is, what God is trying to do is develop us so that we can have a better relationship with Him today than we had yesterday. And did you know that God allows stuff in your life? He allows stuff. What in the world for? I don't like the stuff most of the time. So why does God allow stuff to come into our life that's going to tick us off? Refine us, work it out of us, perfect us, test us, build our faith. And I think building our relationship with Him. So, there are 5 triggers that take us out of the God zone. We will dwell with those weeks to come. 5. Only 5. And we'll deal with those in the weeks to come. But this morning, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. If your heart is troubled, I would encourage you to get to a place where you can believe. I would encourage you to get to a place where you can rest in the promises of God's Word, knowing that you know that you know that you know that God's got this. So that God, the peace of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace of the Holy Spirit can guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. There's something powerful about guarding our heart and mind. There's something powerful. When we're walking in the God zone, we're walking in the Spirit, that our heart and our mind is guarded. But there may be some of you here today who've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We talk about the peace of God. Paul said it's indescribable. You can't describe it. And unless you've ever experienced it, you don't know what it's like. If you've experienced it, you know, but you can't really tell. It's kind of like trying to tell somebody what ice cream tastes like that's never had ice cream. If you've never experienced the peace of God, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He's the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9:6, Jesus said, the Scripture says, for to you a child is born, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The world may be in chaos. The world may be falling down around you, but you can have peace in your heart. That's what God is saying. Where are you? I'm going to pray for you. With every head bowed, every eye closed.